You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Danny Lewis, our guest for another 20 minutes or so. I guess another 5 loads over there. Yeah, you've done a great job in the last hour, 20 minutes, 30 minutes with us, but I keep asking the question. You've answered it great, but I want to go deeper here. I mean, just dump it out there, spill your guts. Clearly, there's a timetable that's sped up here. All these governments talking about it, our government, Obama trying to get ahead of Trump, everything happening. We already know a lot of the secret technology is coming out. We already know a lot of stuff's being exposed. To me, with all this increased activity, obviously human copies, but other stuff, it just seems off the chart. All the fireballs, and I'm seeing 9 red lights fly up, turn to 1 light. You know, I mean, just it's all over the place. Reports off the charts. You got NASA saying, you know, double the meteors coming in, even though there's not regular meteor showers that are scheduled. I mean, all hell's breaking loose. It seems like the establishment is on a timetable. And obviously, what I've seen with technology, maybe they made some deal. People say they did. Maybe that deal's broken. Some say they made a deal with China now that we've been double-crossed. Whatever. I mean, you don't want to get into speculation. You don't get what you know. But speculation-wise, what do you? Why is? Am I wrong that the timetable's been sped up?
No, absolutely. They're acting frantic in the heart of all this, and also they're stacking functions. So if one op doesn't work, if the sky event can't be pulled off, then they have a nuclear event with Iran and Russia. You know, there's always something that's going to draw in the emergency powers. That's the crucial aspect in the background that the groups on the inside are looking for. But if they know, I will say this, I put special emphasis on the UFO file in relation to this because it is a game changer. It is at the very heart of the deep state control because they are the ones who've been able to build up that technology in the background. And the technology is so far beyond what we have as a normal, regular society and the types of things. I mean, we don't even have, you know, speed trains across the United States. We're kind of living in a strange dark ages as much as people have said, well, we're all sped up. Well, we're sped up in terms of the control grid because they're trying to digitize the money. They're trying to digitize our communications. They're trying to put AI in charge and get rid of all these jobs and all the rest of it. And they're lowering the human input on all of it to make a very small group in charge of the future and a very small group in charge of the technology. But when it comes to the UFO technology, it's vast. So it brings us up to like 500 years in advance of what we're doing now. So that's not just, oh, I've advanced in a small way and I have this advantage because we're flying faster jets or something. This is a supersonic and, you know, it's a seismic event in terms of the population. Now, the UFO piece has been guarded by a very small group, and it's the military intelligence and the scientists. But the X-Protect group on the inside that manages it are so stealth that we don't get to see who any of those people are. So you're only getting the surface, you know, piece of what we see. So we might see a congressman say something here. We might see, you know, a person in the military say something here, but we never get the actual person who's behind the X-Protect group. Their mission is to keep the real story of the UFO file away from the public. And the reason they want to do that is the incredible advantage, one, that's involved in the technology. They've been the guardians of it. They've redeveloped it. They feel that they are, in fact, using this X technology in a breakaway
situation. And why do we get it? These big questions. Why do we get it? And then you say Russia's next, then China. Who do they get it from? Or do they just steal it from us and we got it from the aliens?
Russia was very advanced. Remember when the World War II split happened, we got paperclip, but they got paperclip too. They got their own version of this. And,
so why did the Germans get the first bite at the alien apple?
Well, it's very interesting. They were advanced very early on, if you look at the book, Two Planets.
And psychic connection, right?
Yes, exactly. They had a mystery group operating out of Germany, and you know that's where we get the Rosicrucians from. But the mystery schools were advanced on the technological side far, far before any of this stuff hit the public. And it was a rediscovery by the public of advanced technology that we had. Society was getting back into the stage. When you're looking around in World War II,
by the way, he's not just saying that. It's in mainline World War II Pulitzer Prize books that the Nazis were obsessed with psychic connection to off-world entities. Like they were, that's where they were getting their plans, all of it.
Yes, exactly. You had the Thule Society. You had people like Himmler and Hitler and all those people were deeply, deeply involved with it. And, you know, sometimes you hear and you see these shows, well, Hitler occult this or the, you know, the Nazis occult this. They don't go very, very deep with it. Their entire world, their entire realm that they lived in is a gigantic symbolic occult exercise. And when you look at it that way, you start to see what they were doing and the stakes that were involved for them were very existence. They were fighting for this God versus that God, you know? So when you put it on that level, they were on a totally different line than we were as Americans fighting that war, where we were fighting for freedom and all the rest of it. They're, you know, they're practically aliens themselves. And the Nazi impact and influence, if you even look back at it now, how far advanced were those Germans? They had television in 1936. They were broadcasting the Olympics to everyone in 1936. We didn't get TV in the United States until 1950.
They had jumbotrons for the Olympics.
Yes, exactly. And they had the Bell. They had Die Glocke, which is a secret program, which we didn't even find out about until 1990 with the reunification of Germany and the documents came out. So you have 50 years.
And it was all from, in their own writings, channeling off-world entities.
Yes, and I think what's happening there, there's a level of mystery school influence that we don't understand. So when you go back and you look at the anthroposophy work of Steiner, who the Nazis regarded as a very great enemy because he was basically, you know, a cult competition.
That's Rudolf Steiner.
Rudolf Steiner in anthroposophy. One of the things that he put across was he said, you know, when you're looking at this technology, you're actually talking about interacting with a different realm. And so he saw that humanity would get worse and worse into the wars and that this would be more and more exploited. But he said that the political situation in the United States in 1925 was over 90% controlled by the mystery groups, secret societies, the good ones, the good, the bad, the ugly, as it were. So the mystery schools are, this is a background fight with there with the secret societies. The mystery schools of this right-hand path trying to, you know, move the culture forward, get us into a different position. And then you have these other groups, the secret societies, who are, you know, do as your will, shall be the whole of the law, right makes right, and all
would
the rest.
Would you say Musk is clearly right-hand, or at least trying to act like he is?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that he's also in kind of a box too, because there's so many forces. When you operate in space, you're under so many different influences. You're under the influence of the Space Force and the Air Force. You can't do anything up there without DARPA and all the rest of it. So, you know, I also
Trump didn't put him on the new AI board. He put his arch enemy Zuckerberg on.
Yes. How does that make any sense? You know, it is almost like you woke up in 2026 and Trump was cloned out and this imposter is in there doing all these incredible things, starting wars in the Middle East, you know, and putting all these incredible figures in control of high-end technology. And I know that he's flirted with those types of figures before, and you've picked up on the fact that he was saying, well, you know, I talk to bad people and they get me into trouble or whatever. I mean, these are very strange things coming out of him.
Yeah, and I would say that keep your enemies closer. No, he didn't before. Was the it's bad. I'm trying to figure it out. So let's go to your exhibits, because I've interrupted you a bunch. You did a great job, Daniel List. Let's start at exhibit six, the Sphinx, which the ancients said had the stuff under it. Now the scans show that's there. And we'll go through these exhibits because you sent a bunch of them today, and I apologize if I got to them. Why is this important?
This is a very early rendition, and it comes out of a book from 1929, but it comes out of the Edgar Cayce readings, is the real root of it, showing clearly there's a hall of records beneath the Sphinx. And he's giving this prediction and saying, you know what, we're going to find the Sphinx. If you go beneath, you're going to find a hall of records that's another pyramid, and it's beneath the Sphinx. And he says there's going
crazy.
To be—
Everything he said keeps coming true. This is all on your X account. People need to visit that right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fascinating because he said under the Sphinx, right paw is the entryway to the whole thing. So for years and years, there's been back and forth. And the Cayce group itself, the ARE, which, by the way, the CIA infiltrated, they went in and they put, this is actually on record, they put their own people in there in the 80s to try to find out about the Hall of Records. And then all those people got fired. So they were after the Cayce information. They wanted to know from the inside what this was all about. And we also know that in the case of the Central Intelligence Agency, look, they've looked for everything from Noah's Ark to the Hall of Records, right? They know about sacred objects. They know
just
about
like Hitler, they want the spirit of destiny. So people laugh at this. Right. No, the governments are obsessed.
Yes, absolutely. But here's the crucial thing that Casey said. He said this is the period where the Sphinx Hall of Records will be open. That has all the information relating to the Atlantean history, the Atlantean past. First of all, he says the Sphinx comes from 10,500 BC. This is crucial because now all of those things with weather, watering, and the science, the observation of what's going on there, those dates make much more sense than the dates that were made up in the 18th century because they were tracking kings' lists. And so the pyramids are much, much older. The Sphinx is much, much older. The date that Casey gave the pyramid is 10,500 BC. Well, it's interesting if you look at that because the constellation that the Sphinx would be looking out at is Leo, and he's in the body of a lion. So that's the kind of archaeoastronomy when you're looking at it. You say, oh, well, this really makes sense now. But what is the nature of it? Well, Casey said it's a sentinel over that original Atlantean Hall of Records because that Hall of Records contains information about the Two-Eye Stone, which is the original power source that they had in that period.
And you've got groups that have done their radio scans and topography with ground penetrating radar, but a bunch of other groups have found a bunch of stuff there too. Like, there's definitely a bunch of stuff under there.
There's no question, right? So on the outside, you have the scientist Bondi, and he is going in with space radar. He doesn't have authority to go drilling on the plateau or anything. He's just looking from space with his radars from there, and he's seeing through satellite these different images of things that are underneath the plateau. Now, Casey's talking about this in 1932. We're finding it in 2026. So it's clearly there, and those visions of what he's putting across, he says, is an awakening for humanity in the period. The thing is, though, the groups that control, and this goes all the way back to the Mubarak government, when they had Zahi Hawass and all that, they made him a cabinet-level officer, and then they threw Mubarak in jail for his corruption. And all those people who were, you know, high-level figures like Hawass and all the rest of it, antiquities figures, they were doing all these deals and doing all this stuff. And so you see, those were the people they put forward and said, oh, this is the Egyptian story. Well, the real researchers who were working around the Casey information and try to get older information about the Sphinx, they were all booted off of the plateau. They couldn't do any kind of research at all.
Well, sure, when you've got major alien civilization artifacts hiding in plain view, you got to cover it up. They won't. They have garbage piled up everywhere. It's all, but nobody can drill. Nobody can check. So moving on to the next one here, what is this exhibit eight? What is this devilish figure?
That is Ahriman. And Ahriman is the sculpture that Rudolf Steiner made of this entity that was basically the elites were using this entity. And he said in the 21st century, this entity will actually incarnate. And but he said it was a dark astral figure, and that when he was tuning into it, he sculpted it himself. And he said, you know, as I tune into it, I feel like I'm in concrete. I'm getting heavier and heavier. So the figure itself is so weighting, heavy on humanity's future. But he had said,
I've never seen a better rendition of an archetypal Satan.
It's incredible, isn't it? And it's funny because I think you mentioned Faust today. And Faust was actually something that Rudolf Steiner interpreted. And he said, the original devil, the Mephistopheles, that is the devil that is Ahriman. And that they actually split the names over time so that there were various characteristics for different devils and angels. But Ahriman was the actual devil. And he said that he reincarnates into the 21st century. They set up an incarnation of this Ahrimanic figure. And he said the technology, the wave of the technology that comes in the 21st century is Ahrimanic. They use it in an Ahrimanic fashion. And that's the great challenge for humanity. And I think it's interesting with Steiner because if you look at a number of those groups in that period, like the mystery schools, they're all sort of rosy about the future, but not Steiner so much. He says, yeah, there's going to be a rosy future, but the clash is so heavy when Ahriman comes in. And humanity, if they're caught blindsided, if they're half asleep, when this Ahrimanic technology kicks in, then we're in real trouble.
Because Ahriman's going to try to take over.
Well, it is an eighth sphere. You know, speaking, the cosmology is a creation of an eighth sphere. It's an artificial sphere of creation. It's an artificial sphere of reality.
AI, it? All of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I hadn't read Rudolf Steiner about 10 years ago, and I'm talking about my dreams and visions of the higher levels. Everybody said, that's Rudolf Steiner. Went and read it. I'm like, it's a little bit different the way he perspected it, but it's exactly what I saw.
Interesting. Well, he's talking about the virtual reality, the realms of AI. You know, when they talked about the meta universe and things of this nature, putting us and projecting our consciousness into basically a trap, right? That's what they're basically talking about. And in the heart of all this, your own psychic ability. So what is it they have back there? The silver cord, the pituitary, the pineal, and the Leydig. Those are the places where the consciousness grows. That's why you can't grow a clone that has our abilities, because it doesn't have that silver cord. You can't do it. And part of the problem,
I think, doesn't reach back to through antiquity. It is, yeah.
It is. And when you think of the obsession with cloning for organs and things of this nature, the obvious thing they're going to go to next, of course, is making a clone of a human being and having that be like the AI. And this is where the danger is, because if you make a being and it doesn't have the capacity for soul, you're just incarnating a Frankenstein. And this is the level. This is where they're going with it. And I think it's quite fascinating, because their goal is to merge with the mineral realm. And when you think about becoming a cyborg,
they want to force us into that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. If you project that in.
Well, that's Childhood's End, which they tell us with their high priest, Arthur C. Clarke, they want to do. So the next one here, what is this crash site image here, Exhibit 9?
That is, it's an artistic rendering of the actual Roswell crash. And it's interesting, because apparently we have the actual crash that took place in the ranch, but then later someone found this, meaning it's like some kind of shuttlecraft that came off the main craft. And this is what the military was busy cleaning up while redirecting people and you know, getting all the onlookers and things to look somewhere else. This is actually what they were getting into. And this is where they discovered the memory metal and things of this nature. McCasland, years and years later, the general that's missing, he's in charge of the materials that came from that crash in 1947. So we have to go back in our minds to that crash and the amount of things that are said about Roswell, because Roswell was eliminated. It wasn't in any of the literature until 1979. It was taken out. It was censored. So even the fact that we have it and the information about it is very crucial. And I think it gives us that whole interesting background.
It's incredible. Let's look at Exhibit 10. What is this?
Okay. Let's see.
It's like a block of gold or metal. What is this thing?
Oh, you know, that is what came off the craft, and so that's a great shot. Yeah, it is, and it has the hieroglyphs on it. If you look at that, now when people would hold this kind of I-beam, which was part of the technology that came off the crashed craft, they would have all these weird visions holding the actual I-beam, and suddenly they had all these incredible powers, and any ability that they had was incredibly enhanced by holding this thing. Now, there's a number of hieroglyphic things that go along. There's another craft. I think it's Exhibit 15. Right. And for some reason, hieroglyphics keep showing up in the heart of all of these crashes.
Show 15.
And it's fascinating. Yeah, this is in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. This thing looks exactly like the Nazi Bell, but this is in the mid-1960s. This crashes in Kecksburg, the military goes in and seizes it. It's just like the Roswell crash, but they have an entire town that knows exactly what's going on here. And this is what they described. So now there's, you know, this relic of it, basically. It's this almost acorn bell shape. And there are all those weird symbols, again, just like at the Roswell crash. We have the hieroglyphics happening, and this harkens back to our own past in ancient Egypt with the hieroglyphs and the Mayans, of course. So something going on with those patterns. Now, it's interesting also to note that people, when there's been a number of studies of people, I'm going to go back to psychedelics here, not advocating them at all, just kind of getting into some of the things that have happened. People have seen these types of hieroglyphs when they're in those states under the influence of DMT. So there's obviously some crisscross here with dimensional psychic ability in the craft, and that's the way that they are operated. And that's what I think the sense that we get from this one. One of the things I wanted to point out that was also strange about Artemis before we leave this subject.
That's the is new moon mission.
Exactly. If you go to number 3, you're going to see something very strange. Now, the Canadian astronaut that was a part of the Artemis mission, he made this big pronouncement about putting a Sasquatch on his patch, which is a very strange thing for him to do with the Artemis mission. There's been all these weird things in relation to Sasquatch coming up. And this patch I find absolutely fascinating. And up there where it says Canadian, you can see the Bigfoot as part of it. And then he puts out the message that Sasquatch is the truth. And everyone's like, what is this guy talking about? He's one of the main, he's the key figure from the Canadian side. And he's putting this whole thing together on his patch about Sasquatch. What on earth is going on? And if you're one thing
and ask somebody, they don't want you fired. So he's told to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they've been, you know, it's been very odd because even papers like the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal are reporting about, oh, there's been a wave of sightings, not of UFOs, you know, over Ohio, but a wave of Bigfoot. What? So they're kind of throwing a little bit of everything. And they
never find them because it's an interdimensional invasion.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's interesting. I don't even cover Sasquatch that much, but I think it's interesting that this showed up on that patch, especially, you know, he's the Canadian
member. Well, remember what they told us of the $6 million man? It was a CIA robot. They always tell you. So let me ask you about Exhibit 14. What is this? Where you got? Who is this scientist? What is this?
Okay. Yeah. Well, you were talking about the breeding programs and that they were talking about Matt Gaetz and all the rest. Well, this is very interesting. Bud Hopkins was the premier researcher on this aspect of it, and he talked all about it. And he talked about when they were doing the hybrids, a weird thing was happening with the grays, which is that they were developing hair. Because, you know, they're always seen, they have a perfectly bald head and huge eyes. But he had these cases of the grays with hair, and he found, oh, they were doing these intermingling of human genes through a DNA experiment and doing it for years. But the beings that they came out with, you know, they had frail bones, they had weird hair. It didn't work, basically, a lot of the cloning experiments that were going on. And it's interesting because if you go into the legacy, like people like Betty Andreasen and others, they would see aboard the craft versions of their own children, but they were mixtures with these grays. So you were looking at a totally different type of being. Those were the hybrids. And over again, we find them, you know, even in the earliest cases.
But it may not be us copying them. Maybe it was us all along, you said.
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting because when Barney Hill is grabbed in 1961, they put a cup over his genitals and they take all of this semen out so that they can do this redevelopment experiment. And when he's looking up, he says, well, the guy, you know, the person who's doing this, it's hard to describe him. He looks like a Nazi. That's right there in his own hypnosis tape. So he felt that the person who was extracting the semen for this experiment looked like a Nazi. Well, it's pretty fascinating.
So in closing, what's the time frame gut level? Obviously things are accelerating. It's totally insane. What do you think the timetable is for all this? Stuff's coming out constantly. It's like, but like, what's about to happen?
I think it is. It's what you said. Welcome to Thunderdome. The clash is on. There's no question about it. 2026 is the clash. The UFO file is this is the thing that opens it up. You know, a couple of years ago, they did some hearings in Congress. You had some figures out there, like the disinformation agents we talked about, coming before Congress and saying, I'm risking my life and all the rest of it. Well, it's very interesting, isn't it? Because here we are in 2026, and they're right in the heart of Trump at war, saying he's going to release the UFO file and telling these agencies, you have to release the pieces of your UFO file. You have Congress people coming forward, you know, hearing things in the background and then coming forward and saying, you know, guys like Burleson and Burchett and Luna, they are coming forward and saying, this is what we've heard. Well, I don't doubt for a second that they've heard this, but I think that they are being manipulated and they're being shown, oh, there's a giant aircraft, you know, there's a giant spaceship, it's right here. And there's no way those Congress people know anywhere about the location.
And Trump,
you don't understand.
They're registering aliens.gov now. Something big, as you predicted years ago, is about to happen. We're on the cusp of it right now. People can find
it's out
all
in the
your
open
work.
Now.
Where's the you got a bunch of sites, films, everything. Where's the best place to go to find Daniel List?
You can do darkjournalist.com. And of course, YouTube is the show. We do our YouTube show Friday nights, this week, Saturday night.
All right. And that's right there. Dark Journalist.
Yes, just Dark Journalist directly on YouTube or Dark Journalist at darkjournalist.com. And of course, we do the show weekly, but we also come up with special reports during the week. And we'll do a 3-hour episode this Saturday night exactly on the missing general and the UFO file redevelopment.
Incredible. That right there is just amazing. They're so desperate. Thanks for the time. Have a great Easter. We'll talk to you soon.
Great, Alex. Great to see you.
Thank you. Wow, that was powerful. Harrison Smith takes over. Well, we're focused on World War IV and, you know, all this craziness. All this other stuff is happening. We'll be covering it. More reports today. Harris Smith's about to take over. Find the feeds at Rumble, the Alex Jones Show, and InfoWars.com, all the rest of it. God bless you all. Great job, group. We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylenestore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Pitley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.